what his experiences were. As
I would love that. I think that's a really cool thing, like cool spin on the interview with a wrestler. We find their family members that aren't into wrestling and talk to them about it. I think that's very funny. I think it's a very funny move.
We don't want to talk to Jim. Like,
no.
Killer
Pete
guy. We want to talk to Jim.
We want to talk to Skip. Like, do you even care about wrestling? We ask that question. Right? Mo, are we rolling?
Yeah, we're rolling.
Oh, holy crow. Guys, it's Loser Leaves Wrestling with Moe, Jaswal, and Red Jefferson.
Woo! Oh, yeah. There you go. Energy.
Yeah, that's a lot of energy I just dispelled. I don't have anything left for the show.
How are you doing today? I'm doing fine. I'm surviving. How are you doing, Red?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm covered in wasps things. But
What happened? How'd you get stung?
I was going hiking, and then one stung me and got stuck. And then I had to beat it with my hat.
How'd it get stuck? Was it like you got leg hair, or what's the deal?
No, I have no leg. I have shockingly small amount of leg hair. Like where people are just like, "Do you shave your legs?" I'm like, "No, it's just thin and blonde."
Mosquitoes get stuck in my arm hair and my leg hair.
Do they?
I see them get caught up and they try to get in, and then they get like it's very satisfying from like a nature point of view.
You have like a natural netting, like this bug net. That's pretty good, Moet. That's something that we should be working on. I think we should pitch it to Shark Tank.
What's that? My chest hair, or what?
We're gonna create a netting on someone based off your own body hair to trap bugs.
I always knew that this was for a purpose. All this hair. Shut up, Moet. All right, let's move on with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're reviewing AEW Dynamite. This is the woos and whats. Woos are real fun things, and whats are not so fun things. And Moet, we watched Dynamite. We just got off. Finished it. And oh, before we say that, please like and subscribe and all the things. Like, if you're listening to the podcast, review us. Don't be a bum. And also follow us on Loser Leaves Wrestling on all the places, except for Twitter, which is Loser Leaves Pod. Moet, how'd you feel about the show? How did you feel about this AEW Dynamite?
I thought it was a really satisfying show, Red. I had a lot of fun. I thought it was a really good TV episode where, like, nothing too crazy happened necessarily. It was just really solid all the way through. What'd you think?
You know, I think I'm in the same fence. I think there's always, the past few weeks, there's easily been more good than bad. So let's just dive into it and let's see what's going on. Moet, what is your first woo of the evening?
My first woo is the Chris Jericho MJF segment where MJF walks in. He gives them inner circle jackets as gifts. He opens the box up himself, which was my favorite thing in the whole thing. He wraps the presents and then opens it up in front of
Why
them.
Why even wrap it?
Yeah.
Why even wrap it if you're immediately going to open it for them?
Too funny. Too funny. And then he gives jackets to everybody except Sammy, which was a very good touch. Sammy's pissed off. And then they kind of tease whether he's going to join the inner circle. MJF is waiting for Chris Jericho to ask him if he wants to be in the inner circle. And Jericho is trying to figure out what the heck MJF is even doing. And it ends in a really great, like, soap opera moment where he's like, I don't remember what he says. Like, I like that guy.
Sammy's just like, what a lose. And then Jericho's like, no. Perhaps not.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
This was so full of information. Like, it was so full of, like from MJF not wanting to ask to be in the group to Jericho to not want to ask him to be in the group, that growing dynamic where Jericho appreciates MJF, but MJF is definitely working Chris Jericho, and this beautiful slight to Sammy Guevara, this, like, I don't know if it's going to lead to something yet, but I would love for him to get into Jericho's ear and just be like, this Sammy guy, is he really even doing anything besides causing scandal and hurting other wrestlers? Is he even doing that?
It's like, good. Yeah, they're so good at adding little beats into the storyline like that. Like little things that they can capitalize on if they want. They don't have to. Like this like they've planted the seeds of a potential Sammy versus MJF feud if they wanted, or, you know, just by not giving him a jacket, it just kind of adds a little bit of drama. Like maybe like you said, Sammy could talk to Chris Jericho. Something can happen, or maybe nothing will happen from it,
or maybe nothing. Exactly, and they have so many options, and because of these little Easter eggs, later on, 5 months from now, he could have a program with Sammy Guevara. This was the seed, you know.
Also,
if they wanted to.
Great camera angles too. I gotta throw that in. I think, like, usually, you know, not, it's subtle, not a lot, but just I'm just very appreciative of the fact that the camera moved to get into close ups and whatnot of MJF opening the thing and stuff. Usually, you just kind of like an SNL skit, you know, you just kind of hold back and watch the whole thing. But no, this guy is like Birdman. He's jumping in and he's moving around and very dramatic. It was a big fan.
The way they introduced it too, MJF tells you there's a camera person there. Like, AEW does this a lot, which I appreciate. They're just like, hey, I'm bringing you along for a reason. He's talking to the camera person at the very beginning, which just sets up the reason why there's a camera person in the locker room where he's showing them these gifts. It's a little thing, and wrestling's mostly forgotten that, but I love it. I love that.
What great thing, catch.
Did we even see the jackets? Do we even know what they look like?
No, he kind of had them scrunched up a little bit. Like, Ricky Starks does that often. He's been, like, missing his mark when he shows the Darby Allin body bags in his segments. Yeah. I think...
You're right.
I think MJF maybe just did the same thing. I think... Okay. I can tell... I think it was just, like, the Inner Circle logo. It didn't look like anything special. Otherwise, he would have probably made a point to, like, show it off. So, yeah, nothing big. Fair. Do you think this was... What? Do you think they had all of this planned? I'm wondering right now if they are capitalizing on how much people loved that paper or that first segment they did, where they walk away in split screen and call each other idiots. And I wonder if that was just like a one-off thing, or if this was always planned, this like long-term storyline.
Well, I think it could go either way. Like where like they did that one time and they saw the magic there, but that was a pretty long segment. And I feel like they wouldn't do just like they'd have them walk by and like meet in the backstage area for a quick 30-second thing. But that was a pretty prepared, well shot, super edited first scene. I'm sure they had some thought that they wanted to do something with this and use that footage later. Otherwise, like that's just beautiful. Like when they walk away to the split screen and they both call each other an idiot, like. Yeah. Like they wouldn't do that much work for just a walk by for nothing, right?
That's true. Yeah.
I think. Who knows? But like we're big fans. I think it's absolutely adorable. Everything they're doing, absolutely adorable. Moet, we've just nailed this first woo. We just fucking crushed this first woo. What are we going next, Moet? What's next on the docket?
The second thing that I like the most, pushing more storylines, I like Cody's promo. He comes out, specifically the promo, because I got some whats some things I didn't like. Later on, but I thought his promo specifically was great. I thought it hit melodramatic beats. I loved how his answer to just kind of go all over the place, but his answer to Brody Lee is no, and then he walks away, and then the dramatic turn back I just thought was very fun and absurd. Like, who the hell does that except somebody that owns an entire wrestling show and potentially game show? You know, what else I like? I like that, speaking of the game show, that he brought the game show into question. I was really upset that was his big announcement 3 weeks ago or something like that. That his big announcement was that he was part of a game show. But I like that he brought that in as part of, like, breaking his spirit down and making him wonder if he wants to wrestle. I thought it was just really good justification for Cody as a character.
You know, I had this in my woos at the beginning, but I crossed it out. And moved it to my what for a reason that we'll discuss later. But to your point, like I love seeing him back with hair color that hides his neck tattoo just a little bit. I love that he brought up the TV show because it pissed us off. If you guys go back, if our listeners go back and listen to a podcast where right after the, what is it called? The Go Big Show.
Go Big
Show. We talked about it.
Yeah.
We were very disheartened with that ending to a show where they were talking the entire night about Cody's big announcement after getting beaten up by Brody Lee. And it's a fucking plug. But this explanation makes it worth it. Makes it worth it because it's almost like it goes right in that direction, which I like, where they're calling attention to the obvious. It's like a simple improv trick. Whenever, like, if there's something absurd, you have to call attention to it. You have to. And so, like, they probably did that. They showed the good Go Big Home show, the Go Big Show.
I messed you up. Yeah, sorry.
They were saying it. They showed it for plug purpose. They didn't realize it's going to be a part of storyline. But the reaction, I'm sure, made it a part of the storyline.
Sure.
Which I think is cool.
No.
What do you have?
I didn't hear much reaction from anyone else. I feel like it was just me specifically that was fucking on fire. Thinking about it. I think I was overthinking it.
No.
No.
our platform is a megaphone, Moet. There's everyone's got their ears to the ground of the Loser Leaves Wrestling Crew.
Yeah,
I'm telling you that for sure. Well, I've got my woo, since we didn't agree on that one. My main woo, besides that great MJF promo, Miro's Rumspringa bachelor party bit.
Yeah.
I thought it was a fun thing. It was silly. I didn't necessarily get the reference to the record holding guy. I've seen him in King of Kong, Fistful of Quarters.
Good.
I know he's like the record guy, but like, I just loved it. I thought it was very fun. It was very silly. It was a great way to continue this story without taking up live TV time. You know, like, I thought it was a very well-produced, fun little side segment. What do you think about that moment?
I actually was so close to hating it, but then Billy Mitchell, the King of Kong villain of that movie and the universe, he showed up, and I was like, ah, that's such a bizarre and specific reference that I'm into this.
Saved it for
you? I like it, yeah. I don't understand why the hell he was there, what that had to do with anything, but it was fun. It was funny.
I'm so excited to see part two.
Yeah,
like, what is Billy Mitchell going to bring them to for a Rumspringa bachelor party?
I'm into that. Yeah, this better pay off, because I'm actually not into his character right now. I feel like, like whatever his new character design is or whatever the hell is going on, it just seems off and like not. It just, I'm just waiting to have fun because I trust them. I think that something good can happen. Just something feels off, and I feel like they're just kind of figuring it out right now.
They are getting there
through these segments.
Think they are. I think they are, compared to the past few times. This is the most fun I've had watching Miro so far. And I thought he was, like, I think you should watch it again. I think you should watch it again. With Billy Mitchell's coming up soon, you think about that the entire time just to get you through it. It's fun. I think Miro and Kip, Miro seems like himself and Kip is a character to me in these things.
I've seen people have, like, reported that they've like seen him at like grocery stores or something, and he still wears the crop top and the glasses and stuff, so like that's just him like dialed up.
I take it back, if that's him, that's wonderful. That's
I think it's really wonderful. funny.
Well, what's your next woo of the evening? What do you got?
Next one, moving on from storyline necessarily, but I thought the Darby Allin versus Ricky Starks match was fantastic. I thought that was one of the probably the best match of the night.
Darby Allin, well, it started off great. I think that was such a great Wait, that was my big woo. What the hell am I talking about? I circled it and everything. Yes, of course. Darby Allin versus Ricky Starks. That was a great opener. Super hot. Like, it started with such a sense of urgency. Such a sense of urgency. And the best part of the match is the finish. It was a finisher that got the pin.
Yeah.
It was a clean finish. And they protected the coffin drop, which I think is very important to do. You know, like, because like protecting, like, that's a cool move. I think it's a pretty interesting move, and they have to protect some of these things. But like, yeah, what a great opening match.
Coffin drop is very well protected, as well as the Judas effect, Chris Jericho's finisher. I'm not sure if any others are protected the same way they are, where if like he hits it, then the match is over. Particularly with the coffin drop, it's such a stupid and reckless move from like a kayfabe perspective of like trying to do of doing like a trust fall essentially from the top rope, that like he misses it a lot, but that's what makes it great as this like super deadly finisher of like, well, if he that one time he does hit it, it's over. And I like that.
I'm just worried about his neck when he does hit it. When he does hit the move on them, his neck jolts back each time. I'm like, that's gonna hurt your neck over time.
Oh, man.
But one thing that I love about these two specifically, and they're just a great example of the best of this generation, they'd sell so well.
Yeah, that was my big note. Yeah.
Yeah. Darby Allin sells like Jeff Hardy, which is amazing, because Jeff Hardy's one of the best sellers of all time. His body language just looks in pain. He could like get up and his body looks in pain. And Ricky Starks has the best facial expressions. I had no idea. I had no idea that this was going to be so great.
Specifically Ricky Starks, watching him selling everything was really great. I think it played out because the match after that, was Isaiah Cassidy and Chris Jericho. Isaiah Cassidy, I felt like the chemistry wasn't there. That might be one of my was, so I won't go talk.
Is that
too
one?
Much. I don't remember.
Is it one of yours?
I don't know. Actually, it was, so I won't talk too much
okay,
about
well, we'll
it.
Okay, we'll
but bringing it back to Starks, like seeing the way Cassidy sold moves made me appreciate Ricky Starks even more, because it felt so meaningful the way he did it. There's like when he would throw Darby Allin into the turnbuckle, he would do it in a way where he would fall to the ground, and like it sort of hurt him because he was putting so much force into it.
And he doesn't forget the things that he's working on. Like his back is in pain, Ricky Starks, the entire match he was selling it.
Yeah.
The entire match, the minute it started hurting, you knew it was there. And so when he loses cleanly, like it makes sense. It's just like, oh shit, Darby got him early.
That's a great point.
And it makes, it doesn't hurt Ricky at all. It doesn't hurt Ricky in the least, which is so good. Any other thoughts on that match before we move on to next week?
Yeah, just one thing. I just love the, like, there's like a few wrestlers in AEW specifically that I think like make me remind me of like Street Fighter, remind me of fighting games. And Darby Allin hits me that in that feel, whatever I'm trying to say, that he reminds me of that every single time, like of just this like fast, like agile character, does flips, but the flips make sense because it like, it sort of propels him to do all these insane moves. And I just get a kick out of that aspect of him. This like video game.
Special weapon, the skateboard.
Yeah. Yeah. Him, Brian Cage, yeah, is like a Street Fighter character.
The entire theme is there.
Yeah. 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 He's very,
there's a lot in there.
Very cartoony. Yeah. And
That's what I loved about Lucha Underground.
Yes.
Because every character felt like one, where like Sexy Star could totally beat Brian Cage because her moveset is complete, like her strengths are completely different than his strengths. You know, they match up in a way like, oh, she won't overpower him. She's just experienced and fast, you know, like that type of thing.
Yeah.
Which I just want more of. I want more of that kind of like explanation of body types and explanation of characters that make them better, so that we could really get into that world of like Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat. But you're 100% right. That I'm liking Darby Allin more and more, except for that fucking video, which we'll get to. Oh my God, can I not wait to get to that. Moet, what's your next woo of the evening? What do you got?
Okay. The last one was...
I love that you're like, oh, I didn't know I'd write that down 10 minutes ago.
The King of Kong was my next one, but we already talked about that. The last one I have, that is the Butcher versus Chris Jericho match. I didn't actually, or not Chris Jericho, I'm sorry, Butcher versus Moxley.
Interesting.
I didn't actually like the match that much, but what I specifically wrote was Butcher's submissions. I just think it's super cool of a guy of that, just a big dude that could do, that's a submission specialist, and he was really showing that off in this match. I thought that made for a very unique encounter.
Okay,
but that was pretty much it. It's my fifth one. There wasn't a lot.
Did we go through five? Because I have three more woos. What's wrong with me, Moet? Am I doing the math wrong on this one?
No, you did one of mine.
We Darby Allin, MJF, Miro's Rumspringa. Oh, and I guess I have two more, and you have one more. I forgot to do my other one.
Yeah.
So was that your? So
that was actually my last. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'll just go over these real quick because they're very short. I like the Britt Baker versus Red Velvet. I like Britt Baker being back. I think she's great. I think she's missed in the division.
Yeah.
Her presence and her character, the way she turns back at the camera and blows a kiss before doing a move. And Red Velvet, this was a really good match for how short it was. Very good. It both worked super hard. Honestly, one of the better short, one of the better matches on the card today. And also just for the only women's match, again, the only women's match, it showed well. Like they did a good job of representing themselves. I'll quickly go over the next two because they're short. Hangman, well, next one gets short, but I have a secret one that I just wanted to share with you.
Secret one, okay.
Hangman slowly getting drunk during commentary.
Yeah, that was good.
Slowly getting drunker and drunker, but not overdoing it.
Comes out with a glass of whiskey, is kind of overdoing it.
No, he came out with a glass of whiskey, but he didn't act super drunk at the beginning.
Yeah.
He just acted super chill. But then every now and then he'd just be like, just mumble his words, which I thought were very good.
Which also, and I don't know if he was, I still can't tell if that's real whiskey or not.
I have to believe it's not.
It's absurd. It's an absurd amount to do. Right? It's comedic, right? It's got
to
be.
It has to be.
I like that he comes out with the... the like secret tags under everyone's names, you know, like that shows up. That's usually like, won the past eight matches in his, you know,
yeah,
in a row or whatever. 90% of the time, some sarcastic asshole in the back writes Hangman pages. And this one just said, very unprepared. Which I thought, just straight to the point, and I thought it was super funny. Yeah.
That's very good. And just one last quick aside.
Yeah.
Orange Cassidy saying weenies.
Weenies. Very good. Very good.
That was good. And that's a step in the right direction for Orange Cassidy. Let's go back to basics. Give him a breather for a little bit. Let's not have that serious Orange Cassidy come out for a little while. Because that should only be wrapped for special occasions. We don't want to see the Hulk all the time. We want to know why Bruce Banner's all hurt, right?
For sure, for sure. Can I do one extra one?
Yeah, give me an extra one. We're doing this is special, 6 for 6.
I like the John Silver. He was very silly tonight and made me giggle, I think.
What'd I miss? What'd he do?
John Silver, well, somebody took Orange Cassidy's glass and he puts it on and he does a little, like, silly dance and he's like, bloop, 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 and it made me laugh. I think he's doing great.
He did, like, the blue meanie dance?
Yes, yeah. That's all.
Excellent. Wow, Moe, what fun we had with the woos, right? But now we're going to get different.
Oh, here we go. Oh, taking the beer out.
Yeah, I'm going to start bringing one beer for what's.
Yeah, we gotta start dressing up or putting on silly hats or something for
the Yeah, what's. We should do that. We could do that. Do we have any silly hats lying around?
Just nothing. Maybe I can put this hat on backwards over my...
Oh, that's a good idea. That's actually... We should think about that. We're going to brainstorm this. But we should switch hats.
Yeah.
We'll switch our hats around for different moments. Like, we should prepare for the... What?
Yeah, something right? big. Yeah, something well, big.
We got some things to talk about, Moet. What's your big what of the evening?
My big what is everything surrounding the Cody promo. The intro was complete garbage and frustrating as hell. Super obnoxious. There's smoke and flames, and the keeping everyone in the darkness for like 30 seconds. Lava on screen is stupid. It's all stupid. I wrote stupid 3 times.
No.
And then also I'm putting in the end of Cody's promo where everyone runs out this smozzy thing. It's a love hate thing. This whole thing, that whole fight, because I love the physicality of it. I like the chaos of seeing like all these bodies in a ring. Like it just looks intense and crazy, but the jaded wrestling fan in me has seen this 1,000 times, so I know Brody, I know they're gonna break up, I know one of them is gonna run at the other, and then the other one's like, okay, and then they're gonna do it again, and again, and again, and just run it to the ground, and so I'm just super annoyed that they did it, because I've seen it too many times, and I thought Brandi looked terrible. She did a horrible flip off the top rope that knocked out 5 men, which was stupid as hell.
She weighs 105 pounds.
And she did it so softly, which is fine, but in this moment, like, you don't need to do it, you know? And then Nyla Rose jumping in for absolutely no reason. It was just, like, a chaotic, but not in a fun way. Because 100%. There's too many moments that made me turn my brain on when I didn't want to turn my brain on. You shouldn't turn your brain on these moments. You should be, like, overwhelmed, you know, with excitement. So that's me. That's all.
No, I agree. Well, that's the thing. When you said that you love the Cody promo and your woos, I did too. And I think for similar reasons. I like the new entrance. I like this lava entrance. He's evil Cody. He can't, because before he was an angel rising up from the ground, and now he's the devil swimming in lava. Love, love it so much. But him coming out and he gives this promo when he said no, we're like, am I going to face him? No. And he walks out of the ring. I put that in my woo. Big woo. I'm just like, what? He gives this impassioned promo and then says, no, I don't want to fight him. Because I thought this was going to be towards his thing of going towards his heel gimmick where he's going to be like, oh, I'm going to be I'm a businessman first. I'm a businessman first. And I have to protect myself now because I see what happened or something. Maybe some excuse down the line.
Oh, yeah.
Then he comes back in and he says yes. And that killed it for me a little bit. But he did he got a lot of fire in it. I wish they didn't have him walk away from the ring. I wish he said no. Held it off for a little bit in the ring. Staying in the ring to finish it off. Him walking away was so stupid to me. It's so stupid.
No, it's but very then, stupid. But, yeah.
But then, like you said, the brawl went on for so long. I don't think this needed a brawl because I don't think it's been built up long enough to warrant a brawl that it has them pull them apart and attack three separate times. Then Brandi coming out. Like, I would be fine if Brandi came out and did that. if Goldust came out for, or Dustin came out for a second and helped save him, but then got grabbed, and then she came out and did something and then got, you know, like, have it be, but just her, it felt like it's terribly timed.
Yeah.
Because it took forever for her to get out, and then it took forever for the segment to end once she came out. It was so long. Nyla Rose just beating someone up. Like, the crowd, the wrestlers around the ring are getting a little rowdy. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
They're getting a little too rowdy. I don't know how I feel about it.
Oh, I'm actually okay with it at times, because I think it's sort of like almost like a lumberjack feel. Like, if there are wrestlers there that hate other wrestlers in the ring, of course they should, like, hit them in the face or something, because they're right there, and that's what wrestlers do. They're brutes, you know?
But what about the rules, Mowat?
There are no rules. Oh, man. Yeah, Barb said something really great during the FTR match, where, like, they do a really, what I thought was really smart, they get Christopher Daniels kicked out because they pretends that Christopher Daniels grabbed his leg. And then they make a big moment out of that. And so then the ref has to be like, you're out of here. And then Barbara's like, well, what's happening? It's like, well, they made it seem like he grabbed his leg. And then she just, like, very, like, you know, like a just so bored. She's just like, oh, that would be cool if everyone else followed the rules, too. And I was like, oh, damn. And I immediately understood what she meant, because, like, everyone's constantly breaking the rules. People are jumping in without the ref stopping them. Nothing's happening. So, like, that doesn't – why would the ref choose that moment to stop that? Because other people, like, interfere all the time.
Have we ever seen a disqualification in AEW?
No, not – not from, like, a traditional standpoint.
Like, from a ref saying, oh, you can't do that. Call for the bell.
No, not unless it's been used, like, dramatically.
Crazy.
You know, like somebody using a chair or something like that.
JR said in that FTR match, he's just like, yeah, they don't use that tag rope. Nobody uses it. And then Excalibur's like, except in FTR matches, they need to follow the rules. Like, what?
Yeah.
I hate that gimmick so much. Well, we're on the same page with Cody. The brawl. We're on the same page with the brawl. What's your next what of the evening, Mo? What do you got?
The Eddie Kingston promo. I think I can only go so many weeks justifying, like, he's okay. He's really, really good at this. He's gonna do better. I swear, I can only do that so many weeks in a row and just admit that he sucks.
Wait, you didn't like this?
I didn't like his promo. I mean, he went in there with one, to me, what I assume, he went in there with one thing, which is to explain the nonsense of why he gets to pick the opponent.
Yeah, sure.
Because there's no reason for it.
There's no reason.
Which, you know, it's one of those things where I'm trying not to overthink it, because it's wrestling. You shouldn't overthink, like, this garbage that we're watching, you know?
Well, we need to think enough to process.
Yeah,
to give us something to think about.
So, I feel like that's all I came out to do, was explain that. Be a little cheeky, be a little, like, sassy in his Eddie Kingston way. And then that was it. It didn't have any fire behind it. It didn't have any passion. It was just there to explain exposition. And it just was frustrating, because to me, I think Eddie Kingston has a lot of potential to be a really, like, major player in AEW, and he's not doing it. They're not giving him that, but they're giving him all the promo time. Right. So, like,
explain the story that doesn't make sense.
It's sort of like they're kind of using him as a crutch instead of using him as this, like, I don't know, this weapon that they could use, you know, this, like, you come out there, you cause mayhem. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do. I thought this was a better promo than the past few weeks from him. I thought it was much more comprehensible. I thought, like, there was, like, there's some fun moments in there when he was like, he said, like, you guys talking to Tony Khan back there? Or the suck-ups call him TK. Yeah, I'm talking to you. And he winks at the camera, you know? Like,
yeah, very, it was fun.
It was very fun. I don't know. I had fun with that. But my what of the evening will go to the Butcher even getting a championship match. I'm sorry. If you have a system with rankings, I understand. But I don't understand. I don't know why Eddie Kingston's picking John Moxley's opponent. I don't know. But why is it a title match? Title matches are supposed to mean something. That's why you have a ranked system. Why is the Butcher, who may have had a singles match on Dynamite, maybe he's had more on Dark, but he's maybe had maybe one singles match on Dynamite. Maybe.
Yeah.
Why is he getting a championship match?
I was so angry. Yeah, Pentagon promoted on Instagram, he promoted a photo of him versus Mox. So we thought, I assumed that he had spoiled the
Boy, would I have loved
thing.
That.
But that would have been great. Yeah.
Would have been anyone else in his group besides the Butcher. No offense to the Butcher. Like you said that you like him as like, you know, submission guy. I think he's clumsy. Dude's super clumsy. He's dropping things. They try to get him into a stretch muffler and fucked it up and then just pulled his leg back in a weird way that didn't look like it hurt or looked like he could get out. And there's a few moments where it looked clumsy. But I do like him because I like his body type and I love his face.
Got a good face.
His face is money.
He's got a good face. Absolute money. Do you know why Eddie Kingston didn't want to pick himself? I can't justify it. I don't know why. All he said was like, well, I'm not doing it because I can pick anybody. Not gonna pick myself. He's like, he didn't really say. He's like, I'm too hurt.
Yeah, he said that. He said
but I didn't tap out. Like, well, what's the point?
Man, we're going to have to move on for this because actually right. I'm really getting agitated now. I'm really getting warmed up. All right, Moen, what's your next? What?
Here we go, Red. Here we go. Stupid Darby video. That's what I wrote. Stupid Darby video needs to stop. That's all I wrote.
I'm glad that you came to my side on this because all of those videos have been rough. All. Like, you liked one. You liked one, and you justified all of them from that one. You're like, that one was so good.
Yeah, and then I didn't realize
who is that guy?
I don't know. They didn't explain it.
He hasn't appeared on anything or on any BTE or anything like that.
The problem is it's the same thing as Billy Mitchell. Like, you just kind of, they didn't announce who Billy Mitchell was. We know Billy Mitchell because we saw that one movie that came out like 10 years ago. But this is probably a similar thing.
At least they mentioned Billy Mitchell in commentary so I could Google him.
Yeah, you know, they did a quick thing. Yeah.
I have no idea who this guy is.
I think Darby Allin has done that before in the past where he's used other people that do X Games stuff. Like, I think, I don't know, was it Travis Pastrana or something? I don't know. But somebody.
Travis Pastrami?
I think his name is Travis Pastrana.
Call him Travis Pastrami. He used Travis Pastrami in one of his videos before. That's pretty cool.
Sure. So I assume it's just some other cool dude, you know, friend of his. I don't know why they gave him the fucking... Nothing about it was good. Not the black and white. I don't know why they gave this nobody time, a promo time. I don't know why he fucking fell off a cliff in a body bag or whatever. That felt like real, like, Top Gun type of...
Was he even in that body bag? I didn't even notice what was happening. I was so confused by that entire segment. But, so he was in a bag.
He fell off like
there?
A skateboard, or like he was on a skateboard or something. He fell off something and he was in a body bag. You could see the body bag kind of move around and shake and stuff.
Those videos aren't helping him. Those videos have never helped him. What would help him is maybe like...
Film school, for God's sakes. Learn how to make movies properly.
At least just have him skateboarding. I'd rather just see videos of him skateboarding with someone talking over them. You know, him doing stunts, there's only so many stunts that he knows how to do. Now he's grasping at straws. He's just like, I could get into this bag and ride a scooter down a hill.
Like, it's dumb. Sometimes there's been his more like cinematic videos are like, you know, kind of stupid and garbage as well, but like they're at least like kind of evoking imagery, evoking feelings a little bit, like him on an empty, I'm not saying this is good, but him on an empty street dragging on a skateboard, dragging a body bag. That image, while cheesy, is still way better than what we did tonight.
Yeah. 100%.
Because it doesn't make any sense what happened.
There was nothing redeemable about this video. I think we're on the same page about this. Yeah. Well, what's your next what? How many more whats you got? You got two?
Two. Two.
Excellent.
Well,
perfect.
Oh, okay. Chris Jericho versus Isaiah Cassidy.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, just a comparison to Ricky Starks' match. It almost feels unfair to complain about it because the kid's only 23. But I just wasn't a fan of his selling. The match didn't feel believable in any way. And also, once again, comparing it to another match, Orange Cassidy's match against Chris Jericho, the original two, before the champagne one or the Mimosa Mayhem. Sorry. He did such a great job of making it feel believable, feel like he was actually getting the shit kicked out of him, making a proper comeback. I personally didn't feel any sort of connection to the drama in this at all. It just felt like moves happening without selling, you know. Yeah. Chris Jericho was really leading it is what I perceived. Like, he was really taking his time, he was doing all the work.
He was stretching it longer. He was really doing all the work. And the thing is, like, Isaiah Cassidy is not a singles wrestler. he's facing one of the biggest singles wrestlers in the world, and they make him look just like they made Orange Cassidy look, and they made him look just like they made the John Moxley look. And that's not fun. I want to see levels. I would love Private Party to be tag team specialists, but when they're outside of that world, they're fish out of water. You have to kind of get your sea legs with it. That's why when you go into the tag division, you don't always win matches. You know, like when I like the idea of them having to learn a different style. Yes. The fact that he came out and had like a tooth and nail back and forth match with Chris Jericho kind of ruined it. It ruins the allure. He's able, like, these underdogs getting a big win, like Orange Cassidy made sense.
Yeah.
But this didn't make sense to me. And Matt Hardy is the least threatening person in the world with a chair. He got in the ring and he's humbling. I don't know if his limp is a work or not anymore. I don't know. I don't know if it's a work. I can't tell. I feel so nervous when Matt Hardy's around now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know you had a big problem with that limp in the chair, of how silly it looked, right?
Yeah, it looked terrible. It looked terrible because there's three guys there, and here comes a cripple with a chair. Cripple's not a good word. I'm going to take that out.
Fair.
That's not nice. But yeah, no, I agree. That's my what as well. We got one more what going, Mullet.
Yeah, for me, this one I put Orange Cassidy versus the Dark Order guy, Ted. It's pretty much what we just already talked about with that match, Orange Cassidy match, where he, I didn't think it needed to be back and forth as much as it was. I don't know. Still feels kind of weird to me that he's winning matches consistently. Like, that feels like an off thing to keep putting him in singles competition. But it is, I don't know. It just didn't.
I was very met about it.
Yeah, it didn't really affect me in either way. So
That it was a clean finish. A clean, no kick. Like, if they had a bunch of kickouts, I'd have been pissed.
Yeah.
But at least it was one finisher done.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, true.
That's the best we could hope for with AEW, for a match to be under 10 minutes.
Although, I did like that best friends were there this time. But he has friends. He's not just this weird single star alone. That they're, like, continuing that.
I hope Tony Khan watched or listened to our podcast and was just like, oh, that. Makes sense. Like, they're friends. Best friends should be best friends with each other.
There you go.
I think that's great. Well, my last what of the evening was the Young Bucks super kicking Tony Schiavone. I am so upset by that because it could have been so much better. Here's an FTR promo, which, by the way, FTR, they're pretty good. They're pretty good on the mic, which I like. They're not bad. And they were having this interview in the back. And Tony Schiavone's there. They super kick Tony Schiavone out of nowhere, and they just blow it off. Tony Schiavone has been in the wrestling business for 40 years. He's been at least since the early 80s.
Oh. Keep it together,
so
Red. Keep it together, man.
Tony Schiavone has been with wrestling for at least since the early 80s, and he's never been touched. He's never been beaten up. Ever been beaten up. And if my brain, he is this generation's Mean Gene Oakland. This is AEW's Mean Gene Oakland, right? Like it's the song that everyone likes. He does interviews in the back. He's a little quippy, but he has these relationships. He has a personality. Make it a bigger deal. You hit Tony Schiavone, that should be a huge, that should be several steps ahead of what the Young Bucks have been doing. They've been going around kicking people, which I'm getting bored of, honestly. This isn't the right type of heightening. And to jump to Tony Schiavone, it should have been better. He deserves better, Moet.
Red, you want to know what type of heightening it is?
What is it?
It's and then heightening. Here's some it's going back to the South Park writers' system of every story beat should every sentence should end with either therefore. Or but, or meanwhile. So this, you should never do and then, because then you're just, you know, stuck in the mud. You're just doing the same thing over and over again, right? So the Young Bucks are doing that. They, what happened? I guess they lost their match, they lost their qualifying match, so they couldn't get into the title picture for the pay-per-view. Therefore, they kick they're frustrated and they kick some announcer in the face. And then next week they kick another guy in the face. And then they kick Tony Schiavone in the face. And then, and you see, it's done. It all their momentum is just done. Yeah.
I hate it, Moet. Tony Schiavone's better than that. He should be kicked. I don't want to not have him be kicked.
Yeah.
I just want him to be, to make, that should be a bigger deal. And I, in my brain, Tony Schiavone, just like JR, if JR got kicked, you would just brush it off as nothing. You know, you wouldn't do that. But like Tony Schiavone, I just love the guy. And also, he has neck problems. He doesn't want to take bumps. He's never wanted to take bumps. He has neck problems.
I love your reverence for Tony Schiavone. I love the connection to Mean Gene Okerlund. I love that because I haven't seen anyone hurt Mean Gene during all those times. And honestly, he deserved it.
But if they super kicked Mean Gene, if they someone hit Mean Gene, that's the start of a big fucking angle.
Yeah.
That's like the that's something like that's a big heightening because you're just taking someone that everyone loves, everyone has respect for, and he's never been touched. He's never been attacked. Why don't they make it a bigger deal?
And I got to say, I think of all the people, just to defend myself, I think he deserved it because I think he knew he was untouchable as a character, you know, as a Mean Gene. Yeah, because he was so sassy. He talked back to every single guy that walked over to him. He did not care who he was talking to. Hulk Hogan, Macho, what's that? What are you doing? Who's this guy? What's going on now? Oh, loved it. Yeah. So sassy.
Just, like, constantly, and just the things he would say. Like, he just, like, cut them down to legs. It's just like, oh, we're here with Hulk Hogan, small dick Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan. just, like, he'd say these weird things.
Oh, so good. Yeah, I think that's wonderful.
I don't think he called him small dick Hulk Hogan.
He would he would do stuff like that on outtakes, for sure.
Maybe I love his outtakes. Outtakes. I love them.
Yeah, real fun. Super funny. Yeah. I agree, though, yeah.
Well, we went through the entire AEW Dynamite. We did it all, Moet.
That's it.
We just punched on through. Overall thoughts. You heard the night. You saw the night. Anything that rings true? What is your overall take of everything?
They do a really good job of making me interested in the next week's show. Like I'm a fan of them. You know, their promos for the next show. I think
30 years of Jericho.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I think the dog collar matches next week, so that's gonna be fun and probably ridiculous.
Dog collar next week?
Yeah,
they're doing it next week. Dynamite?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I smell a video coming after that match.
A video? What do you mean?
Our Matt Hardy success.
Oh,
someone's gonna bleed.
Oh yeah. Oh Jesus. Yeah. Hopefully, yeah. We'll see. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I'm just to keep the train moving. It's good stuff. I'm excited.
Thank you all so much for listening and watching to Loser Leaves Wrestling. Please follow us on Instagram and on YouTube, Loser Leaves Wrestling, Twitter, Loser Leaves Pod. Please review our podcast. Please review our podcast.
Dear God, please review it. Red's been trapped in that breaking news room for weeks now. He needs to get out.
They need to get out. I see it.
Yeah.
I see the downloads.
Yeah.
You're there. Okay. But thank you all so much. Moet, your favorite book, title.
Oh,
and
no.
And say your favorite curse word.
Oh, no. Catch 22, you dumb bitch.
Thank you all so much for watching. Bye bye, Moet.
No, that was a really bad one. That was really bad. I don't like that word, actually.